नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 35, The Gopis Sing of Krishna, Texts 14 to 15. Vivida Gopa Charaneshu Vidagdo Venu Vadya Uruda Nijashisha Tava Sutaha Sati Yadadara Bimbe Datta Venu Anayat Swarajati Vivida Gopa Charaneshu Vidagdo Vivida Gopa Charaneshu Vidagdo Vino Vajya Urudani Jashiksha Vino Vajya Urudani Jashiksha Tava Sutta Sati Yadadara Bimbe Tava Sutta Sati Yadadara Bimbe Datta Vino Anayaswara Jati Datta Vino Anayaswara Jati Various Gopa of cowherds Charaneshu in the activities Vidagda expert Venu of the flute Vajye in the matter of playing Uruda manifold Nija of his own production Shiksha whose teachings Tava your Sutta son Sati O pious lady Yashoda Yada when Adara upon his lips Bimbe which are like red bimba fruits Datta blazing Venu his flute Anayat he brought forth Swara of musical sound Jati the harmonic tones. I'll read the next verse or so. Savana Shastat Upadaya Suresha Shakrasava Paramesti Puruga Kavaya Anata Kandara Chitta Kasmalam Yayu Anichitta Tatva. Translation. O pious Mother Yashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. When he takes his flute to his bimba red lips and sends forth the tones of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other chief demigods become confused upon hearing the sound. Although they are the most learned authorities, they cannot ascertain the accents of that music, and thus they bow down their heads and hearts. Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The words Tava Sutta Sati, your son, O chaste lady, clearly indicate that at this point, Mother Yashoda is among the young gopis as they earnestly describe Lord Krishna's glories. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, among the demigods led by Chakra, Lord Indra, were Upendra, Agni, and Yamaraj. Among those led by Sava, Lord Shiva, were Katyayani, Skanda, and Ganesh. And among those led by Paramesti, Lord Brahma, were the four Kumaras and Narada. Thus, the best collective intelligence in the universe could not definitively analyze the enchanting musical arrangements of the Supreme Lord. I'll read the translation again. O pious Mother Yashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. When he takes his flute to his bimba red lips and sends forth the tones of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other chief demigods become confused upon hearing the sound. Although they are the most learned authorities, they cannot ascertain the essence of that music, and thus they bow down their heads and hearts. Om magyana timrandasya gananjana slakhaya shaksamunitam yunatasmai shigurave namaha. Namo om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasatane Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamitamne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine. Nivise Sasanyavari Pasachadisha Tarine. So in this verse, the flute of Krishna is referred to as Venu. There's two times the word Venu is used and is translated as his flute. And in the Nectar of Devotion, it describes that Krishna has three kinds of flutes. One is the Venu, Murali, and Vamsi. That's why it's also known as Vamsidhara, Mulidhara, like that. And Venu is a short flute with six holes. And then Murali is a longer one. I think longer with a hole in the end and four holes. And the even longer one is called the Vamsi. So there's in this there are three different kind of flutes. And even the Vamsi, sometimes when it's even longer, there's different length of the flute and which he used for different purposes. The longest one that he's used is called Akasini. And the cow, especially the cowherd boys, they love the sound of their flute. And sometimes his flute is decorated with jewels. Sometimes the flute may be made from marble. I don't know how he make flute from marble, but flutes from the bamboo. And sometimes it's decorated with jewels or with gold. So in this way, Krishna has many different kinds of flutes, and as described here, he is expert at creating different melodies, different sound. Actually, this flute playing of Krishna is one of the unique features of Krishna. There are different 50 qualities that even the living being can attain. But beyond the 50 qualities, there's 5 extra qualities that Krishna has where by you, maybe Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva can also achieve. But beyond that, another 5 qualities, only Narayan has those 5 qualities, those 60 qualities. But Krishna has 4 extra qualities that even Narayan does not possess. And those 4 qualities are that Krishna performed many wonderful pastimes. And he is always surrounded by devotees who are endowed with love of Godhead. And the 63rd quality is that his flute playing attracts everyone in the universe. This is a unique quality of Krishna that only Krishna possesses, his flute playing. And of course, he has unrivaled beauty, unrivaled in all the 3 worlds and even beyond. And so this flute playing of Krishna in his different melodies, for example, in the in the magazines or in the newspaper, when someone come up with a CD, some new music, or there's a concert, and you have all these people writing giving their commentaries, analyzing the music and giving their commentaries, how the performance was, how this CD is good and that, and so many things. But they will never be able to analyze the musical arrangement of Krishna. Because even the most, as is pointed out here in the purport, that even the collective intelligence in the universe, the best collective intelligence of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, the Kumaras, Narada Muni, Yamraj, Agni, all these great personalities, they could not ascertain or they're not able to properly understand and analyze this enchanting musical arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So this flute playing of Krishna is very, very unique. So much so that when he plays his flute, even all, as we were reading in the previous verses, all the animals in the forest, the deer, the cows, they all stop whatever they were doing. And they just stop doing this, like completely stunned. And as Saturday, I think it was Aniruddha who was reading that verse, river Yamuna just stopped flowing. Now, how are you going to analyze that? From the material point of view, how do you analyze that? How just by someone playing the flute and the river just stopped flowing? There's no instance in the history of the world where the river just stopped flowing. They can put up a dam to try to control it, but the river don't stop. It keeps flowing. So, but when Krishna played, the river just stopped. Yamuna just stopped flowing, hoping that some dust from the lotus feet of Krishna by the blow of the wind will blow into her wakes. And the demigods and their wife, the charanas, the siddhas, when they're traveling on the airplane, when the wife of demigods, when they hear the flute playing of Krishna, they all just also become stunned. And then lusty desires arises in the heart, which they become embarrassed, even though they are next to their husband. But when they hear the flute of Krishna, all their chastity goes away. And that's also what one gopi was saying. One gopi was saying is Krishna, when he plays flute, there's no women in the universe can maintain their chastity. And even the strong-hearted man will fall down. And that's exactly what happened when Krishna playing on his flute. He wanted to see the gopis engaged in the rasa dance. When he played his flute, all the gopis, their hearts, the hearts and the minds were stolen by the thief, Krishna, when he played his flute. Hearts and minds just stolen. And often I just get amazed when I hear this, how the gopis, they just drop everything. When they hear the flute of Krishna playing, they just drop everything, whatever they were doing. I mean, being a father and your children, you see how, especially when the child, the babe, the mother is feeding the child, breastfeeding the child, or feeding to a child. For them, when they're holding the child, it's like they're embracing the universe, or they're embracing the bundle of joy. But here the gopis, when they hear the flow of Krishna, even though they're feeding the babies, they just drop the babies. It's very difficult to actually to comprehend how a mother would just, when feeding a child, just drop. But the gopis, their mind and heart were just stolen. And it's described, they just ran out towards Krishna trying to regain their hearts and mind. They were cooking milk and they dropped and let the milk flow over. They were serving the husband, they just dropped the pots. Whatever they were doing, they just drop it. And some of them were applying kumkum on their face, or applying tila, or getting dressed. They just, in their half-dressed condition, they just ran off. That's what happened. Become mad. Mind and heart just gone. Left everything. That's why early on, they were upset with Krishna when they came to Krishna, and Krishna said, "What are you doing here? You are young girls, so you are married, you know. You have your father-in-law, you have your father and children to take care of. What are you doing here in the middle of the night? You should go home." And sure, they were upset. They're all looking on the ground, their toes are scratching on the ground. And they just left everything to come to Krishna, and Krishna said, "What are you doing here? You should go back." So, so in this way, when the gopis are here, the flute of Krishna, they get mesmerized, they're lost. But the flute of Krishna has different effect on different personality. For example, when he plays flute in the morning, the coward boys, they will just hear the flute and they wake up immediately. They wake up immediately, get ready, and they go and see Krishna, waiting for Krishna. That's how enthusiastic. Now, when you talk about enthusiasm, usaha nishadaya, the six qualities that are favorable for devotional service. The first one is enthusiasm. And you can see how enthusiastic the coward boys were every morning. They do not need a second ringing. Just like when our alarm bell go off, a few more minutes. But the cow boys just hear the flow of Krishna up. Yeah. And all very eagerly going towards Krishna. And some of these boys, they'll be waiting outside. Waiting outside. And sometimes Mother Yashoda will notice some of the cow boys waiting outside and say, "What are you waiting out here? Vishal, come in." They will call this one of the cow boys, Vishal. He's a friend of Krishna, but kind of younger. They are more in the servitude. They are serving Krishna as friends. So come in, come in. And so with the permission of Mother Yashoda, Vishal will come in. And Mother Yashoda will be dressing Krishna. And Vishal will be helping to put on the anchor bell for Krishna. And then Krishna will playfully hit him on the head with his flute. And Mother Yashoda was admonishing Krishna, "What are you doing, Krishna? Why do you do that? Why are you making fun of your friend?" And then Krishna will laugh and Vishal will laugh. And both of them just laugh. Now of course, you know, when you hit by Krishna's flute, you're just in ecstasy. And also the coward boys, when they hear the flute of Krishna, they know where Krishna is. So they don't have to go everywhere looking for Krishna. They know, "Oh, he's playing his flute in Govardhan, so we know where to look for him." And they go there, looking for Krishna. And the enthusiasm goes on further when they go into the forest. I remember this because I used to read this for my son when he was a small baby, small child. He loved to hear this story. How they will be running after Krishna and they'll say, "Oh, I'll be the first one to touch Krishna." And they'll say, no, I'll be the first one. No, I'll be the first one." In this way, they have competition. Who is going to be the first one to touch Krishna? Running. So much enthusiasm is there just to be with Krishna and to serve Krishna. And then this Mother Yashoda. Sometimes when Krishna is coming back late from the pasture ground, and he's in anxiety or wondering. She's wondering, "Where is Krishna?" So she's very eagerly awaiting to hear the sound of Krishna's flute. Because when they know, just also the gopis, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they know, "Oh, Krishna is coming home." Because Krishna is gone all day, taking care of the calves. And they are feeling great separation. That Krishna is away the whole day, so they just couldn't wait for Krishna to come back in the evening. And so they're waiting. Sometimes Mother Yashoda with the gopis waiting for Krishna, they would ask one of the tallest Krishna to climb up to see, "Where is Krishna? Is he coming back yet?" You know. So he was always very, very eagerly awaiting the flute, the sound of Krishna's flute. When is he going to be coming back? And of course the gopis, one of the gopis was praising the bamboo tree. They said, "You are so fortunate, because your son is always on the lips of Krishna. Krishna is always putting your son, this young bamboo, on his lips. So you're very, very fortunate father," he's saying. So in this way, you see how actually the Krishna's flute is so amazing, is so wonderful, that no wonder that all these great personality, they are not able to properly analyze all this enchanting music arrangement of Krishna. Because it's beyond, it's something transcendental. Anything transcendental we cannot understand by our material endeavors. In fact, it's difficult enough to understand Krishna. Sometimes people is very quick to say, "Yeah, I know Krishna, I know God, I can understand," and so on. But even Lord Brahma, he said, and some people may say what they like. They may say they know Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything. And he learned it the hard way. Because one time he came to Dwarka to see Krishna. And he was stopped by the doorkeeper. And he said, "What do you want? What do you want?" He said, "I came to see Krishna." And he said, "Who are you?" And Lord Brahma said, "What do you mean, who am I? Don't you see I have four heads on my shoulder? You know, I'm Lord Brahma." So they went in and asked Krishna, and Krishna, "Lord Brahma came to see you." And then Lord Brahma said, "Which Brahma? Go and ask him which Brahma." And Lord Brahma became like incredible. "What do you mean, which Brahma? I thought I'm the only one in the universe. I'm the four-headed Brahmana. You know, I'm the creator of the universe." So the doorkeeper went back and told Krishna, he said he's the creator of the universe. And Prabhupada Krishna could dictate that there was some pride there. He said, "Okay, bring him in." So he received Lord Brahma very well and said, "Oh, Lord Brahma, please take a seat. What can I do for you?" And Lord Brahma said, "Before I ask you, I have a doubt in my mind that just now your doorkeeper were asking which Brahma am I? And are there any more other Brahma besides me?" And Krishna just smiled and he called all the Brahmas from all the different universes. And some have 10 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads, million heads. Now don't try to analyze how all those 1,000 heads or millions heads sit on the shoulder. And when they bow down, it makes a tumultuous sound because all the heads with all the helmets knocking on the ground, it makes so much sound. And Lord Brahma is just tiny little Brahma there with only four heads. It's one of the smallest universe. He only needs four heads. Whereas all the other universes are bigger. They need more heads. So Brahma was brought down to size. And I say, yeah, people may say they know Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, I do not know anything. So we should not try to analyze. Like it's often said that you can understand that by logic that there is God. By logic, you cannot understand who is God and what is God. Because that is the ascending process. Trying to understand things by our analytical study, by our mental prowess or intellectual prowess, we can't understand the transcendental subject matter by that way. This transcendental subject matter is being passed down through disciplic succession. It's passed down by the spiritual authorities. It's just like when the self-realized soul speaks, they're actually seeing in their mind eye as they speak. Now, it's just like when the Goswamis, when they write about the past tense of Krishna, it's not just some theoretical knowledge that they're presenting. They're actually seeing the past tense of Krishna as they're writing. We know sometimes if we don't really understand the subject matter properly or we don't have much realization of a subject, when we speak, it's not very clear. And the audience, when they hear, they don't really grasp it. It's just like if someone asks you, if I walk on the street of Melbourne and a tourist come up to me and say, "Can you show me where is this?" And I can speculate and say, "It's somewhere here," and you turn this way, that way, and the guy will get more confused. But if you ask me where is Dank Street and where is Turfell Street and all that, I can explain. And then as I'm explaining, giving the direction, I'm seeing in my mind's eye where the place is. I know where the place is. I know where the street is. So I can give proper direction. So similarly, the spirits, the pure devotees, when they speak about Krishna, they actually seeing. They have realized knowledge. That's why Tattva Darshana. Because they can impart this knowledge unto us because they have seen the truth. So this is the difference between the mature endeavor, the Mayavadis. As Prabhupada said, the Mayavadis, the process of Mayavadis is compared like to the monkey. The baby monkeys, they're hanging on to the mother. As the mother is swinging from tree to tree, the baby is hanging to the mother by their own strength. They're hanging on. So the Mayavadis, they are trying to endeavor to understand the Brahman or understand the spiritual topics by their own endeavor. But whereas the devotees, the process of devotees' devotional service is like the kitten. They just get picked up by the mother and they place here and there. But in order to do that, this requires a lot of surrender. It requires giving up of the false ego, which is a very difficult thing. Giving up the false ego, because we all think in our various degree how intelligent we are, how smart we are. We all think we are so smart. And sometimes it's very difficult to accept instructions from higher authority. So when we talk about surrendering to the spiritual master, surrendering to Krishna, and giving up our so-called independence, it's not so much about as what sometimes when we preach, people say, oh, you have no independence. You don't think for yourself. It's not that we shut off the brain. You know? But we understand when we come to the understanding that actually by my endeavor, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not going to make much progress. But if I want to make serious progress in spiritual life, I have to surrender to spiritual authority. I have to take instruction from higher authority. I have to surrender to the spiritual master and take instruction from him. So we voluntarily give up our so-called independence, because for so many lifetimes we have been attached to that so-called independence. And where does it get us? Where has all this independence brought us? That's changing bodies in different species of life, in different situations. So what's the use of all those independence that people so talk about, that people are so attached to? So actually devotees are very intelligent. They have come to the point of understanding that that this independence is not going to get me anywhere. So let me voluntarily surrender my independence to my spiritual master. Let him guide me. It's just like when we come to the airport, when we arrive in a city, they say, I'll find my own way. You can be searching all day and you're not going to get anywhere. But you can also jump into a taxi. Say, take me to this place, take me to that place. The taxi are pretty much the authority of that place. They know most of the places in the city. They can take you wherever you want. So you want to understand spiritual topics, we take instruction from the pure devotees of the Lord. And that's why every day we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And we discuss the topics that is given in the Bhagavatam with the translation and also the purports. So in this way we try to at least appreciate. We may not be able to fully comprehend the topics that is there, but at least we appreciate how wonderful Krishna is. How wonderful the different paraphernalia of Krishna, which are actually not different from Krishna. Like the flute, for example, we're reading about the flute, there's so many slokas, verses here that's talking about the flutes of Krishna. In the nectar of devotion, it's described is the different stimulants in ecstatic love and the flute. When one hears the flute of Krishna, one becomes also stimulated in ecstatic love. Just like Lord Indra, when he hears the flute of Krishna, he became stunned, and tears were flowing from his eyes, and the tears were dropping onto the earth planet. And described that area became like a celestial kingdom, because the tears of Indra was dropping into the dropping into Raj. So all these different things that is related to Krishna, it's very difficult to understand. It's impossible to understand by our material endeavor. Sometimes, for example, we also talk about mercy of Krishna as causeless mercy, and sometimes we read about how, oh, you must have performed very pious activities in the past life that you now have the association of Krishna and all these things. But actually, the mercy of Krishna is causeless. There's no cause to it. The Sai Krishna Das Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he challenged those people who were very attached to their so-called material intelligence, who like to understand everything by logic and argument, to try to understand everything by analytical study. Krishna Das Kaviraj, he challenged them. He said, if you are so attached to your logic and argument and analytical study, you try to apply that to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you find that it's it's unlimited. You cannot fully understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because it's so costless. How costless it is to that Jaga and Madai. These two brothers, drunken brothers, were born in Brahmana's family. They were such debauchees. Sinful activities in the book, they've done that. But yet, they received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was described in that when Yamaraj heard that Jaga and Madai were delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell into a swoon. He just fell into ecstasy. He was just too amazing. Because when his treasurer started reading all the sinful activities, how it was like rows and rows and rows of it. It was like no end to it. And yet, they were delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, through the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So how are you going to understand that by material endeavor, by analytical study? It's not possible. So we understand the spiritual method by the process of hearing. Hearing from the pure devotees. And hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. The more we hear and chant, the more we come to understand. And as our heart become more purified. They say that by chanting, when we chant the pure name, when we first realize the name, then we realize the form of Krishna, then we realize the activities, the different characteristics, the pastime, we enter into the pastime, there are different stages. So we should not be too fast in trying to straight away jump into the pastimes and try to enter into the pastimes of Krishna, as some sadhus are doing. Because we are still on the stage of Nambas, trying to come to the point of clear chanting. So I'll just stop here. Are there any comments? Questions? If you miss any points. Yesterday when I was just reading, wow, flute of Krishna. Why am I going to talk about the flute of Krishna? I was just about to go back to Krishna and I say, I think you find someone else to give class today. Krishna is inspired, just pick up the nectar of devotion, check on the index, a whole list of description about the flutes of Krishna. So, yes.
How to tell the materialists about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Can you tell me?
How do?
Explain to the materialist people.
Yeah.
The mercy of Mahaprabhu.
How to explain?
In deeply. How?
Don't even try.
Like children.
Well, you can. For starter, you can talk about the. Normally, when you speak to materialists, we don't try to talk to them of all these things. It's just like talking about the glories of the holy name. It's an offense to try to describe the glories of the holy name to a faithless person. So when you talk, it's just too exoteric for them.
But somehow we have to tell them sometimes.
When they start chanting Hare Krishna, get them to chant Hare Krishna, get them to taste a bit of the mercy of Krishna.
They don't want to chant. They say they have no time.
Then, if they say they have no time to chant, you think they will appreciate the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if you describe it to them?
Just give them prasad.
Just give them prasad. If they don't want to chant, just give them prasad. They cannot say no to prasad. Even the most obnoxious people, they cannot say no to prasad. I remember one time we in Copenhagen, we were doing some prasad distribution rock festival. It was at that time it was like one of the largest rock festival in the Northern Europe. About 80,000, 100,000 people. We were distributing prasham, and we were giving us prasham to this one chubby-looking Dean. And I went up to speak to him, and he was very challenging. He said, "Why are you giving out free food here? In Denmark, we are not poor. You should give free food to the people." I said, "We give to everyone. We don't make discrimination." He said, "No, we are not poor here." He was holding this plate of prasham, khichdi and halwa. And Papadam, "We are not poor here, you should give this free food to people in Africa." And I said, he keeps saying that. And I said, "Okay, give it back to me." And he keep on arguing. And then later I observed, he took the prasad and he went for seconds. So people can talk as much as they want, but when it comes to prasad, they just cannot resist. They can argue. It's our secret weapon. So they don't want to chant, they don't want to take a book, they don't want to hear the philosophy. It doesn't matter, just take prasham. Shut your mouth, just take prasham, stuff your face. And they will get purified. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.